Are you winning or are you losing? That's actually the title of the sermon today.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Jerry.
Lord God, we're in your presence right now. Father, as we stand before your holiness, we ask, Father, that you would cleanse us. We need your cleansing, Father. We need you. We need you desperately. So thank you for our time of worship before you. And I pray that, Lord, that it was sweet in your sight. Now, Father, I'm asking that you would just pour out your Spirit in the house today as we get ready to get into your Word. And I ask, Father, that you would use me to bring forth that Word accurately and with your anointing. And I'll praise you in Jesus' name. God's people said amen. You can be seated as you are. Amen. Thank you, worship team. I appreciate you guys so much. How many of you appreciate the worship team? They work really hard to not just dazzle you with how wonderful they are, but they work hard at trying to lead you into worship. Because this service is not about any one person, is it, except for Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, this morning, I just want to praise God for all that He has doing, and I have a message that the Lord has placed on my heart today, and I was going to say that I'm going to do part two of resurrection and revival, but he just walked out the door, Pastor Aaron did. But today I have a question for you. So we begin here this morning. Here's my question. Are you winning or losing? Some of you are looking at me like, well, I'm not sure how to answer that. Not sure where you're going with that. Are you winning or are you losing? That's actually the title of the sermon today. So as we begin here today, you're going to find out shortly what that actually means. And Pastor Aaron actually did talk about this last week during Resurrection Sunday and the second part of his sermon in revival and what that takes. But I want you to go with me to Matthew chapter 28 as we begin here today. And we're actually going to be going through several scriptures today, so I hope you're ready. And if not, Rick has them up here on the scripture on the board here. But Matthew chapter 28, this is at the very end of Matthew's gospel. Jesus had now resurrected from the dead. He's alive. He'd been seen of over 500 people that were on the earth at that time that saw him. And now he comes to the end of just getting ready to leave this earth and to ascend into heaven, and he leaves these words. And I think this is really important for us to get. I don't know how many of you have ever talked to someone just right before they have passed out of this life into death and asked them, you know, what do you want us to know? What would you want me to know? Give me some words of wisdom. I know I did that with my pastor out in California, and I asked him, before you die, what words of wisdom do you have for me? And he gave me some of those words of wisdom. But here Jesus, right before he leaves the earth, he says this. We're going to start in verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He earned that by dying on that cross and then resurrecting from that grave. He said, all power is given to me. Now, go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Now jump over back to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 1. And I know he shared some of this last week, but I want to review this again. Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 6. And again, Jesus was alive. He had spent time with his disciples and now getting ready to leave again. And he says, when they were therefore come together, they ask of him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father has put in his own power. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, when we look at those two passages of Scripture, what do you hear out of those passages of Scripture? Go ye therefore, teach nations, go and be witnesses to those nations that are around you. Do you think that this is just something that is a recommendation for Christians? This is the commandment that the Lord has given. He said, I'm going to be leaving now, but I am leaving you filled with my Holy Spirit to do a job. And what is that job? To go and tell the world of what Jesus has done for us. So this is something that we have to look at. These are commandments. Now I'm going to answer that question. Are you winning or are you losing? Are you winning souls for Jesus? Or are you losing souls for Jesus? Interesting question, huh? This is the title that the Lord was just burning on my heart this week. Are you winning souls for Him, or are you doing the opposite? And we're going to be talking about that here near the end and how we can actually deter people from coming to know Christ based on how our lives are. See, because when we say we're a Christian and we act otherwise, there is a deterrent to people coming to know the Lord. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. Some of you, and I talk about this quite often, but some of you may remember Uncle Pete. Uncle Pete came to Christ when he was 93 years old. Talk about waiting till close to the end, right? And he came to me one day and said, I'm ashamed to say, but I'm 93 years old and I've never accepted Christ as my Savior. And I asked him, I said, Uncle Pete, why? Why did you not go to church? He said, oh yeah, I went to church. Went to church my whole youth life. Never missed a Sunday. I said, but yet you never gave your heart to Christ. You never got saved. And he said, there's a reason for that. I said, why is that? He said, because the pastor of our church was involved in several adulterous relationships. And it was well known within the community. And he actually died coming back from one of his mistress's house that night. And that put a hardness in that young man's life to say, Christians are phonies. Everything that they say is worthless because their lives don't match up to it. He was almost lost because of that man's disobedience to Christ. Are you winning souls or are you losing souls for Christ? And I know that's probably never a sermon that you've heard taught before. But it is the case. Jesus spoke earlier about winning. And we want to win people to Christ. And we can win them by not only our words that we're speaking to them, but our lives, folks. How many of you know that your life is more of a testimony than your words? Because I can get up here. Anybody can get up here that's charismatic and can speak well and give you all the things that you're supposed to be doing and make it sound wonderful and say, oh, this is great. You ought to be doing that. But behind the scenes, they are living a life that is opposite of what the Scriptures teach. And we have seen it time and time again, especially from those that are in public ministry. And then all of a sudden, it is found out that they're doing exactly opposite of what that. And that's why the church gets this rap of, they're just a bunch of what? Hypocrites that are in the church. I have made it my life's point to do what the Word of God says, and whatever I preach, guess what? It's got to come back to me, and I've got to live that life. Otherwise, as the Apostle Paul said, I'm a hypocrite. I truly am a hypocrite if I don't do that. Now, I will tell you this, that there are others that are out there that are being hypocrites, but there are some godly people in this world. Amen? And when we live that kind of life, we are winning people to Christ. Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, Jesus said that He wanted us to do something. He wanted us to be fishers of men. He was talking to those disciples, and a lot of them were fishermen. I don't know why God chooses fishermen. Peter was a rough and tough kind of a guy. He was the kind of guy that let his mouth run off before his mind caught up to it. Anybody relate to that? But yet, Jesus chose him. And so we got oftentimes wonder, why would God choose a loud mouth like Peter? Because He knew that He could get a hold of that loud mouth and that heart, that boisterous heart, and turn it around for God. And that's why I never give up. I never give up. I don't care whether someone is tough and rough. I never give up because I know what God can do. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. I know what God can do. He said, be fishers of men. You and I are supposed to be out fishing for men. And I'm going to tell you this right now. Many people sit in the church pews and they listen to a sermon like this and they say, that's right, Pastor, that's your job. Do it. You just do it. Amen. I'm for you. It's not my job. Whose job is it? It's all of our jobs to talk about this message of Jesus Christ. It's not just mine. It's not just the evangelist. It's not just those that are teachers. Just, okay, your job. You do it, Doris. Make sure you teach them all for me. And I'm going to go as far as this. Some people say, I'll give you money if you'll do it so I don't have to do it. We'll just pay the church. We'll pay your... Here you go. Here you guys preach the gospel. No! Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Preach it! And some of us say, yeah, but I'm not a preacher. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Your life is preaching to all those around you. They're seeing it. They're hearing it. Because listen, what do kids growing up learn? Do they learn what their parents say or what their parents do? They learn what their parents do. They are. They're watching. So you're preaching. You're preaching. You don't have to be in my position or any any other upfront type of ministry position to be a preacher. Be a fisher of men. That's our job. That's what we're called. Those are commands that are given to us. So none of us are exempt from that. Everybody understand that. You can't walk away from here saying, I didn't hear that. Anybody have a kid that you tell them something, they put their hands up, I'm not listening. Some of you were saying that during the last series I taught on the fruit of the Spirit, fruit inspection. I'm not listening. The Apostle Paul follows up with this same message. And turn over with me now to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19. For though I be free from all men, yet I have made myself servant unto all that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without the law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are outside the law. What he's talking about is Jewish people and Gentile people. See, the Gentiles, they didn't have all the Jewish laws and everything. But Paul said, if I'm going to be ministering to Gentiles, I'm needing to become and understand where they are at. Now look at that. Verse 22, to the weak I became as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. I do that for the gospel's sake. I want you to understand something here about witnessing. See, we are called to meet people where they are at. In other words, am I going to show up on your doorstep and I know that you got problems with Christians, you got problems with things that have happened in your life. You don't want anything to do with God. Am I going to show up on your doorstep with my Bible in my hand? And I'm going to look you straight in the eye and I'm going to say, thus saith the Lord. Get right or you're going to hell. What do you think is going to happen? I'm going to be escorted quite quickly out of that place. So oftentimes, this is how sometimes Christians like to approach witnessing with people. They come up to them and they just start quoting Scripture to them. Scripture, 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 Scripture. And all the time that individual might be saying, I wish you'd get out of my face. The door closed. Now might I remind you of a Scripture that Jesus said, something like this. He said, I want you to be wise as serpents, yet gentle as a dove. Now, what does that mean? When we think about that, wise as a serpent, how am I going to go about witnessing to you as an individual when I don't know anything about you? I don't know what your likes are. I don't know what your dislikes are. Paul said, I have become all things to all men. In other words, I want to relate to you. So, let's say that your big passion is riding motorcycles, right? But I've never got on a motorcycle in my life. But yet I have a desire to minister to you. What might I do? Now, within reason here, okay? Yeah. You might read up on it and be able to have a conversation that is intelligent to that particular individual that's interested in motorcycles. And or, I might get me a motorcycle and ride one to be able to minister. Now listen to the Lord and your wife or husband on that, okay? Okay. Is that all right, babe? No. Be wise as serpents. In other words, you are not going to reach someone unless you can get into their lives. You don't just start in by preaching at them, because that's not going to get you anywhere. Listen, you all know that when I was 19 years old, 18 and a half, okay, I decided that I was going to win the world, and I went out. Now, we used to have, in California, we had something, they called it different things, the gut or whatever, where all the teenagers brought their cars out, and on the main drag, they just drove up and down, all night for several hours, you know. Boom, 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 yeah. Anybody ever done that before? Yeah, okay. I said, man, what a great opportunity to go out and witness to people. So I did that. And I brought my Bible with me. I had this great big Bible. And y'all know, I had an afro at that time. Okay. Rick, you remember my afro? Yeah. And I had this like Fu Manchu mustache thing going on. And I walk up to these people, and I have my tracts in my hand, too. I said, I want to tell you all about Jesus. And I'd start, and you know, the Bible says that you are dead in your sin. And they're like, man, you are weird. You know how much success I had with that? None. And I did that for quite a while. I even had this big Jesus belt buckle right here. I still got it. One day I'm going to wear it. Yeah. And you're picturing a young Jerry here, okay? I'm sharing. And on my van, yeah, on my van, I had this. You know how, like, on the windshield back in the 70s, they had these, like, things that would block out the sun, and you could put Ford on them or anything like that. Every once in a while I see one, but I created my own, okay? I cut out letters and stuff like that, and mine said, big and bold on my windshield, Jesus is Lord. So I would pull up, get out with my Bible. She is laughing at me. Can you believe that? Now I have no hair. Clean shaven. Do you look better now? Okay. But I figured out something, that wasn't the way to reach people. The way to reach people is to learn about them, to be wise as serpents and gentle as a dove. Okay? Now, I want to get to know you. I cannot bring a message to you unless I know you. Okay? Now she's laughing at me. She's got this picture in her head, yeah? Don't get me wrong. I love Jesus, and I wanted people to know about him. But I had to learn the right way to go about that. Okay? And so we have to learn to be wise in how we witness to people. Because we can turn people away faster than anything. So, if I'm trying to witness to someone and their passion is going to stores and shopping, what do you think I'm going to do? I'm going to send Laura. Okay. Yeah. Listen, I have shopped with Laura, not the first couple years after we got married, because I was trying to be loving and wonderful husband and, you know, Black Friday shopping all day. And the only thing I could think about is, where can I sit down and where's the next restaurant? You know? Any women relate to that, what their husbands Any men relate to that? I mean, women relate to what I'm saying, Dee. She says, amen. She's not a shopper. Give me a high five back there, okay? But you understand the point. Because I've got to know the individual. I can't just start throwing scripture, okay? It is a command that we testify of what the Lord has done, but be careful how you do that, okay? Now, and one other scripture that I'd like to bring out here is one of Miss Joyce's favorite scriptures. They're in Proverbs chapter 25. Jump over with me in Proverbs chapter 25. And we haven't gotten to that on Wednesday night. And again, we're studying the book of Proverbs on Wednesday night. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 11 and 12. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. As an earring of gold or as an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. So some of you may not know what that means, that a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Back in that time, that was a precious picture. That was an expensive picture. It was something that would be put up in king's houses. So, a word fitly spoken. You have to know when to speak and when not to speak. You can't just bombard people with the Bible. You got it? Fitly spoken means I need to know when. And listen, one of the ministries, you know, I take that ministry of being fishers of men very seriously. And so one of the ways that I do that is that I take people out fishing on my boat and they can't get away from me unless they want to swim. And we talk sometimes, we're catching fish, but oftentimes I have taken unsaved people out with me. And what do you think the first thing is that I talk to them about? Fishing. I don't start right in on, you know what, are you saved? Why aren't you saved? You know you're going to hell if you're not saved. Probably the next thing that would end up in my back is their hook. We talk about fishing sometimes. And it's funny, Laura asks me sometimes, well, what did you talk about? And as a man, we say, was I supposed to talk about something? What did you talk about? Fishing. And little by little, we can get a rapport going. Then we start talking about the things of God. And sometimes I've had folks that are out on my boat that, you know, they're cussing, carrying on. And after a while, I'm saying, Lord, when is my time? When is my time? And so the Lord said, now's the time. I said, okay. I said, what do you do for a living? And they answered the question what they did for a living. And then they said, what do you do for a living? No more cussing. I got to get going. I got a lot of stuff to come here. All right. Why should we be a witness? Well, we know that the Word of God tells us we should be a witness. But I want to look up just a couple more scriptures regarding this. My goodness. Ezekiel chapter 33. So we're going to go to these things, and not just because we're commanded to, though we should, but here's some powerful scriptures that have to do with this thing. Ezekiel 33, verse 6. But if the watchmen see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set you a watchman under the house of Israel. Therefore, thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked man from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked of his way and turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. All right. The whole gist of that is, if we know the good news, and we've been commanded to share the good news of Christ, and yet we withhold it, you think there will be a reckoning someday? Absolutely. We're going to stand before the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9 through 11. Paul said, we therefore labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. How many are going to appear before Christ? This is kind of like death. Death has 100% success rate. Unless the Lord Jesus comes back. So human beings can't say, I'm exempt. Same thing here. We all are going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to have to give an account that everyone might receive the things done in his body according to that which he has done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. But I want you to look at that particular verse there in verse 11. We persuade men because of the terror of the Lord. Now, I'm going to get very serious here. Unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Do we have a reason to minister and testify and witness to others? We do. Because men and women will die and go to hell if we don't do our part in what the Lord has asked us to do. And to be a testimony unto them. The terror of the Lord. Listen, some people say, oh, I don't mind going to hell. All my friends are going to be there. That individual lacks knowledge. He has no idea what hell is. And there won't be partying going on in hell. It's not going to happen. The Bible explains it as weeping and gnashing of teeth. Utter misery forever and ever and ever. Should we have a heart, or should we say, we don't care whether they go? That's not the heart of a believer, folks. Jump over with me to the book of Jude. One of them little hard-to-find two-page books. And it only has one chapter, so verse 21 through 23, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, and some have compassion on, making a difference. Remember we talked about being wise as serpents. Sometimes you can win individuals by having compassion on them. And that will be what draws them to the Lord. Because you had compassion, or you helped them with something, or something that you did helped to draw them towards the things of God. And others, verse 23, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. There may be those. And there has been occasion when I have done this, where I have had to snatch someone and say, you're going in the wrong direction. Now stop it. And those individuals look at me and go, whoa, I respect that. Because that's the kind of person they are. And they needed that. Snatching them out of the fire. How many of us want these folks to go to hell? I surely hope not. That's the call for witnessing. Okay? There are benefits of winning souls as well, folks. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30. I like this verse. The fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. If you're out there winning souls by your life, by your testimony, by your word, you're wise. You're a wise individual. But if you could care less, guess what you become? A fool. He that winneth souls, are you winning or are you losing them? One other scripture found back in the book of Daniel. I want you to turn back with me and find that. The book of Daniel, chapter 12, at the very end of that book. Now, the book of Daniel is all about prophecy and what will happen. But I want you to particularly pay attention to these verses in Daniel chapter 12, verse 2 and 3. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. There's no in between. Okay? We're either going to heaven or we're going to hell. Well, I don't believe in hell. That doesn't matter whether you believe in it or not. I can't see hell, so I don't believe in it. Really? How many of you believe in air? Can you see air? But you still believe in it. Such it is with hell. And they that be wise, there's that word again, wise. Remember what Proverbs said? And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Did you hear what that said? Those that turn others to righteousness will shine as the stars forever and ever in the kingdom of God. How many of you want that? How many of you want to shine forever? That's the promise of God. So that's the winning side. Are we winning souls for Christ? The losing side is being a poor example of a Christian. I told you about Uncle Pete. That's just one example of being a poor example to others that are around you. It's driving others away from the faith. Now, the Apostle Paul, I'm only going to share just a few of these with you. But if you turn back with me to 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, and here are some ways that we can be a very poor example to the world that is around us. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. And we're going to read this. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. Do you know how many churches are divided? And there's so much bickering that takes place within the church. Anybody that comes in and says, I'm looking for a church, and you see all that bittering, that bickering and division going on, you want to stay there? That's just a bunch of hypocrites. So many times people are turned away from that. And then later on now, in verse 12, he says, this I say, that every one of you says, well, I'm of Paul. And another one says, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, and I'm of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I didn't baptize any of you, except a few, and I baptized also the house of Stephanas. Verse 17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. Listen, divisions within the body of Christ. Let's talk about this just briefly. How many denominations are there? And if you're an unbeliever, how does this look? It looks bad. You know what? This group is, they say they're right. And then this denomination says, no, we're right. This is how you get names like the First Church of such and such. And the Reformed Church of such and such. Because our way is better than your way. We left you because we can't get along. You see how division can really look bad out there and be a very poor witness? And if you're saying to someone, you know what, I want to tell you about the love of God. And they say, but last week you were telling me how you hated that person in church and what they did to you. Not going to work. Last week you were gossiping about the people in Sunday school. And you were gossiping about the pastor. Oh my, that pastor. Can you believe that he had the audacity to say that we need to love Jesus? Nobody's going to tell me what to do. See, that's the kind of stuff. Divisions among us. Turn over to chapter 6. Here's another thing that the scriptures talk about. Legal disputes. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 6. But brother goes to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law one with another. Why don't you rather take the wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? No. You do wrong and defraud, and that of your brethren. Don't you know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Again, believers taking other believers to court. Well, these two individuals go to the same church. The neighbor doesn't go to church. Now, he sees this bitter fight going on between these two Christians. And they're talking about each other so badly, and then they're taking each other to court. I'm going to get what belongs to me. What kind of testimony is that, folks? Or when one Christian, here's the word, loans some money to someone else in the church. Now that someone else says, I will pay you back. I'll pay you every month. First month comes, you don't get it. Second month comes, you don't get it. What begins to happen? You're not paying me. You're not paying me. You're not paying me. Let me just give you a word of advice here. If you're going to give money to someone, don't call it a loan. You're better off saying, I'm giving this to you, because it will end up causing all kinds of bitterness within your heart. And it's a poor testimony when two believers are fighting about things like this. The last one that I want to share just prior to going into our communion time, and this is really important. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, meaning you're set apart for God's service, that you should abstain from fornication. Every one of you ought to know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust, even as the Gentiles do, concupiscence, that's that King James word, which means I do whatever I feel like doing it when I feel like doing it, even as the Gentiles, which do not know God. We're talking about immorality here. Amongst believers, one of the very things that hurts the body of Christ so much is immorality and causes others to be lost, as I shared with you with Uncle Pete. And I'm just going to tell you this. One would think that this immorality is not in the church, but it is. It is. Scary statistics that have come out. I think it was 65% of pastors, that's not church congregations, have been involved on a regular basis with pornography. And even a higher percentage of those that have been surveyed in church attendance involved in some type of sexual immorality. Satan laughs all the way to the bank with that, because that turns away an unbeliever. Says, you know what? There's no difference. No difference in you. And Christians like to hide behind things like this. You remember the old bumper sticker? I'm not perfect, just forgiven. As if that bumper sticker gives me the ability to go and do what I want to do because God will forgive me. Now, truly, yes, God does forgive when a heart is repentant. But a repentant heart means that I'm turning the other way. I'm turning away from it. I'm not continuing in this. And the sad part is that these statistics are showing that are regularly involved in these things. So the world will look at that and say there's no difference. So we have to make a difference, because are we winning souls or are we losing them for Christ? Amen? Amen. Father, thank you so much for this word. And I pray that it would strike our hearts, Lord. And that wherever we're at as a believer in you right now, that a change would be made in our lives. That we would commit to be winning souls. Father, I ask that you would forgive us, God, that you would cleanse us, because we all need it. We've all been bad examples at times of what a Christian is and what a believer is. Father, I'm asking that you would forgive us. And Lord, anybody in this house or anybody listening to the sound of this message, that we would give our hearts truly to you. Because we know we're going to face that judgment one day. We're going to stand before you. And I ask, God, that you would help us to do that. Stand in righteousness, like the stars that shine forever. And I thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.